always good to be here and get to see so many people that are here. Get to be in your presence, people of like precious faith, as we have assembled together to study another portion of God's message unto man. I'll always think of that first song when I come to thinking of God's word and the things that are written in therein for us. That blessed is a man walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. And that's going to take in a whole lot of people like that. That's going to cut out a lot of people to be associated with habitually. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And how rejoicing and how wonderful it is to listen to people that know these things, and their lives come in that rain. That he meditate there, they shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bring forth their fruit in season. Leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the calf which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, but in the city of the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And any time that we open this book, these words, they're not dead words. They were not words that just anybody penned about close to 2,000 years ago, 1900 or so. According to what time they were penned. They're not dead words, they're just as alive when we read them, or when someone else reads them, they're just as alive now as they were then. They mean just as much to us today, as I understand it, as they did then. Therefore, as a Christian, a true Christian, should be among the happiest, Christians should be among the happiest people that there is upon the face of the earth. Not only do they have the promise of the life that we now have, but also we have the hope of that eternal life that is to come. Our lesson is the 20th chapter of Acts. That's what I had marked. And after the uproar was ceased, now they in the previous chapter read it. They were had an uproar. Paul had a bold there. I had been there in Ephesus for about 2 years or maybe longer. But they were a city of the goddess Diana. I think that's right. And they worshipped and had images, and his teaching of Jesus and of his ways did away with a lot of the way that they made living, because they made images to that goddess Diana, if I understand it right, and somewhat would worship that. But Christ, his way, his teaching, and Paul's teaching interfered with that, and there was a big uproar. And as I understand it, the Jews, Rome was over the Jewish nation, and they were subject under Rome, and they didn't want a big disturbance of going along there in one of those cities, because that they couldn't control it, or they would be the leaders of the city would be called into question of why they let these things go on. That's what I gather. Paul called on him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And Macedonia was a good ways away from Ephesus. As he had seen, he had to cross it, or either he had to go around it, he would come down that peninsula there, which lay between, this sea was the opposite from Italy, and I can't pronounce the name of that little body of water between Italy, and I believe it was Achaia and also Greece, same, I think they said that Greece and Achaia was the same, and that was part of this, that's where he was going to over in Macedonia. When he had gone over those parts and given them much education, he came into Greece. Now that down in there, I understand folks where Corinth was, and well, there was another one placed down there, but I can't call it right off. There abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. Now, he was going back around part of the way that he came in. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sophater of Berea, and of the Cephalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Now, I may not have pronounced those names right. I would ask, those are not names that we don't usually go down the street and we say hi, some of these names, because we don't have many of them. They're not very common to us now. And I see the way they have them marked, but that's the way they have them accented. It might not be what they called them back there either. And we sailed away from Philippi after those days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Troas. It was somewhere near Troas, but it was up in that area when they had we heard a voice or an image to come over into Macedonia and help us. It was along in that somewhere. But Troas is where this, we're going to leave where this fellow was. He was asleep and fell out of the log. Some of these here people that are gifted with continuance, a lot of put a lot of people to sleep. So he was getting his rest. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued this speech at their midnight. Gathered together to break bread. Now, I've heard that was the Lord's Supper, and I've heard that was a meal. If he stayed that 7 days, I'm sure that they had the Lord's Supper, knowing the record that Paul had left. I'm sure they had the Lord's Supper while they were there. But his speech, and this is not out of the ordinary, because he was making around, and he was there, and he had knowledge. Not only did he have knowledge, he was also able to perform miracles of such like those that God would give him lead to, for his Hebrew letter speaks that God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. The apostles had that gift. They didn't all have the same gift, but I believe all the apostles had some kind of gifts. There were several gifts. And as I understand it, they could impart, or they could lay hands on some of the brethren and give them that gift. But that was as far as they could not pass it on. They couldn't just keep it. They might pass it on one time. Carried for us in Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi and came to them 5 days, where it was 7 days. On the first, wait a minute, I'm way on down further than that. Number eight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. As Paul was long preaching, he sunk down to sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. As I understand it now, he was dead. So then Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Now this is not the first case of where life has been given back into a body. We understand it way back. That's the Elijah, who was around 600 or 700 BC at the time of Ahab, Jezebel, and also his name in Judas right off. But he was able to bring the Lord, let a boy's life come back into it. Back in those days, all with that soul and embracing him, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed, seeming that these people were so hungry to know, and naturally they would, for no message like this had ever been before. And I don't know how many of them knew much about the history of the Hebrew people, but if they understood anything of the history, if they had any kind of a history, the history of the kings, and they knew anything about those, then Paul was answering questions that might have, that some of the knowledge that they had from back there might have caused them to be more interested in the things that he was teaching, for he was teaching them of spiritual side of life. You know, as we live here in this, we each live in a tabernacle of clay, which, along with everything else that we see in this earth, according to 2 Peter 3rd chapter, is going to burn up one of these days. It will be gone, along with everything that we make mistakes. Or either we will leave what we have and we will go on to our reward. But the knowledge that man has and how he behaves himself is was what Paul was trying to impart unto them, to teach them the things that he had learned. Paul was a scholar. He had been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was a well-educated man. Some of the other apostles may not have been. They were fishermen, tax collectors, things of other things. That was Matthew and some of Peter, James, and John, I think, were fishermen. I don't know what all of them were at all, but no doubt they were not as educated as Paul was. And he was one also because he knew that Hebrew, the history of them. He was able to take that knowledge into consideration and the things that was revealed unto him and able to put it to the proper use. On many a time, for instance, on Mars Hill it was, when he was there, and he came before the council of people that were there, and he saw that they were, he said, you're a superstitious people. He said, I look to see your images, you know, things that you worship. He said, I see one here, you have to the unknown God. And surely that must be, because they had several, as I understand, and they didn't want to leave one out. So they put one down for the unknown God. And he told them, he used this, all this, to get his speech started. He said, this unknown God, him I declare unto you. For truly, God was unknown to him. And it fit, and therefore he was able to get started in talking to them about something that they had caused to be brought about. But the young man alive, and were not a little company. And we went before the ship and sailed to Azos. There it did take Paul, for so he had appointed money himself to go afoot. Now from Troas, I believe it is, to this Azores, it looked like on the map it was about 50 miles. It'd be about like from here to Amsterdam. But if they were going to go on the ship traveling down in the Aegean Sea, well, no doubt Paul could make it if he had a guide, and no doubt they did. No doubt there was some that went there that went with him, and the people that he might have met along the way as he was going down. Walk along the land and not go by ship. But they were going to pick him up when he got down there. And when he met with us at Azos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Towers, and the next day we arrived at Famous and tarried at Sergilium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to stay about Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Now, you know, a lot of times we have things that we have set up that we would like to be at. A lot of times we like to be where the Memorial Day is for the people, the saints, the Christians, those who worship in these different places that have already preceded us in there. We like to be there to remember them on the Memorial Day. Sometimes I go to the cemetery. If I get there early or happen to be there or have opportunity, then I walk around and I look at those people. And there's a whole lot of people out there that I thought was old people. I'm older than they are right now. And you know, it's the eye-opening to look at that thing about how old you're getting to be. And you've been allowed 70 years, and you think back and how fast that passes. And you young people, it looks like a long time, I tell you. But when you get to this end of it and look back, it's not so very far. But he wanted to be at Jerusalem there at Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Now, this right here seems to be an important part for church people. Call for the elders. And when they would come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, as to what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations pushing failed me by the lying in wait of the Jews." And you know, Paul, at one time he told about the many things that had happened to him, about him being shipwrecked, being beaten, being left for dead, being alone in perils, and in perils of his own countrymen. And so no doubt they knew many things that had happened to him at this place. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house." And that from house to house. You know, I enjoy going around town when I've got time. And when we're in not around town, anywhere. And meeting up with people. And sometimes you can strike up and you can get a good conversation going. I've had on the job that I had, I've had a few enjoyable moments walking up where somebody was reading and just asking them what they were reading and where they were reading and get started right there in a conversation. And you know, there's a lot of people out there, and you see them and you wouldn't think about it, but when you talk and you listen to them talk, the things that's on their mind, the things that's in their heart, there's a lot of people out there that we might not think, but they are minded to set the Bible in the place where that it should be. A place that has a special place for us because it tells us of life. "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, who bring us toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." It seems that Paul, in the 13th chapter, I believe it was, one of the Corinthian letters, I guess the 2nd Corinthians. I believe that was a chapter. Where he says that he knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, he did not know, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And then such a one called up to paradise. And he heard things and understood things and saw things like a revelation to him. So no doubt he knew firsthand what things were over yonder. And to lay down the body, I've often thought about how tired that we get sometimes. And yet, let's put it this way, change it around a little bit. We think about death. Death is a freeing of the spirit from the body. And the body sometimes can get to be very burdensome to the spirit. Because sometimes it gets to where you can't hardly move it around. Sometimes maybe somebody has to help move you around. And yet death is a door that frees the spirit from that body. That's why it says that, as Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, says that the dust shall return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God that gives it. Verse 23, say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life here unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and in ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There's a lot of people that go along the same line that Paul did. And we have a book that's available to us that we can read about it. I believe it's called Fox's Book of Martyrs and the Things That They Endure. I've not read all of it. I read some in it every once in a while. And some of those people endured quite a lot of suffering. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. In other words, he was telling them to fare away for the things that he anticipated would happen to him when he got to Jerusalem. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am feared from the blood of all men. He had told them the necessary things that would free them from the burden of sin that they had for the five peace that we all have sinned and have come short. But he had taught them how that they might make themselves or become free. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now watch this verse right here. He told them to feed the church of God. Now, as I understand it, these people he was talking to was to the, the elders that he called for. Said these verse. Called the elders of the church. They were to feed the church. We usually think of an elder of an older person. When the church was new, they appointed elders. They had no older people. They appointed elders. But I just throw this out. People may grow into elders. Those who grow in the knowledge of the word and teach it, no doubt, grow into eldership. A lot of places I know of, or that I hear of, do not necessarily have elders appointed. But yet there are people there that everybody looks at. I know when I go to places, it doesn't matter if I've been there before, I soon learn who the people I think are the ones that, well, you might say that's the backbone of the church, that keep it going. And I look to them as to be those that would be the ones that would, well, just that, keeping it going as elders, or filling that position. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Grievous because they wanted to, a lot of times they wanted for monetary reasons, for what that you might give. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking the first things to draw away disciples after this. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I knew he'd been there about 2 years. I didn't remember three, but he speaks here of 3 years. So 3 years of living, how would you like and how wonderful it would be if we could sit at the feet of one of the apostles for 3 years and listen. And yet we have this revealed unto us, this that the Holy Ghost gave unto the apostles, and they wrote it for us. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And that's what we all have. As we look around this cemetery is the places where you go, places they may be not be where that we are familiar with, the people that are being there, but we might be there with family our own family members as they are laid to rest. And people there that have been laid to rest. And we think about all those people that have lived. Look at the cemetery, like down here at Memory Gardens. I remember when that was Paxton, and there's a lot of people laying out there now. A lot of people out there. I was down there one time for a funeral, and I misjudged. I was just going to be down there when they placed them in the grave, and I got there early. And as I walked around looking at the little plaques that was laid, I saw names of people I had delivered their mail. And they got their checks. That's what really hit me. Their checks had the same name on it as those graves had. And it was, I don't know, it was just like you'd walk up against the wall, and that was a great revelation of the brevity of life. And those people that I knew, I could just see them as I read their names off that. And yet, I sometimes wonder, you know, my mother, grandparents are buried in different places to here, and I like to go by there. I didn't, I never saw them, all of them, but I like to go by there and just visit the place where their remains are. I know they're not there, but there's just a feeling, a closeness of thinking of the spiritual part of man, the spiritual part of man, the lineage that we came from. I do not know what kind of people, but from some of them that I know, I can imagine what they might be. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I am much rather for your giver myself. I'd much rather be on the giving side than the receiving side. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And a lot of time on it, you know, when we have family gatherings, and a lot of times we might not have prayer when we break up and we go our own way. I like to see those that do. When you go visit somebody in the hospital, usually they'll ask for prayer. Maybe at nursing home, and they ask for prayer. Prayer is the communication that we have with our Creator when we are together. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. You can most think of some of these homecoming days that we have. And a lot of times when we have those days, before the next homecoming day comes around, there's some that were there that previous year that will not be there. They've already crossed over. And yet we're all in that same boat. There's none of us speaking about the last enemy that shall be destroyed, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's Christ's 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. The last enemy, Christ the reign, to the last enemy that be destroyed, the last enemy that be destroyed is death. We are all someday, unless Christ comes back first, we will all succumb to that last thing. Appreciate your attention while I try to read and say a few words on this chapter. If there's anyone that's subject to the invitation, if you may let your wishes be known as we stand to say the selected people.